your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive.
Jeannie, move the iPad. The iPad.
That is the Lord himself. You know, I tell you what, we don't always put ourselves in the position to meet with God. That's why sometimes our life goes through train wreck moments. You can trace every train wreck moment of your life down to time where you were not in proper relationship with God. But as for him, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's faithful. You know, there's a man of God who wrestled with an angel all night, and he stood up and said, "My goodness, Lord, your presence has been near me all the time, even though I knew it not." You know, right in the book of Acts, it says the same thing, that in him we live, move, breathe, and have our very being. And he's always right there. All you have to do is ask. God is right there. Most of the time that we are feeling lonely, down, depressed, and life is falling apart like a train wreck around us, it's only because. Now, we're not on yet, right?
No.
It's only because we have left him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things I want you to endeavor to do tonight is to start determining, I am not going to leave God. No matter how good my life is, no matter how rough it is, I am not going to start throwing myself pity parties, woe is me, and confuse myself where I leave God. Because tonight, I'm starting a new series. Now, we're still going to touch on the fact that you guys are more than enough. Say, I'm more than enough. Say, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Special order. Special recipe. Original recipe. Woo! Only from the Lord. Wow! You guys are powerful. Tell you what, I'm doing a little preamble before we get on Facebook tonight. Are you okay with that? How you doing, handsome? You doing good tonight? Good. I like you being in that front row seat. You build my faith up. Shalim, let me know when we are ready to go. 4 minutes? Boy, I really got your attention early. Does anybody have a testimony tonight? Come on. Let's give it.
This weekend was a very interesting weekend. There was a lot of things, you know, happening, going on and everything. And I was so exhausted. I mean, I was so tired. I was aching and everything. And, you know, you don't feel good and everything. I just want to share the one.
Yeah.
The one. And I had prayed and I was talking. And I said, before that, someone said, well, it looks like it's going to rain. I said, oh, I think it's clearer there. I said, the wind and the waves still know his name, and it did not rain.
Amen. Yes. The wind and the rains and the waves still know his name, huh? Amen. Praise God.
And when I went in, I went in to sit down because I was hurting so bad. I was lightheaded. I was just, that's how, you know, things were going on. And I said, and I prayed, and I said, God, send someone to help me. And I was saying, yeah, I says, God's going to send someone to help me. He's going to send someone to help me. And I went in, and I sit down, and I leaned my head against the wall there. And I heard someone talking. I thought, well, someone delivered something, whatever. And I got up, and I said, who is that? Where'd they come from? And this man was driving by. Didn't know him. Didn't know him. And he had stopped to ask, you know, if he could help. And this man came in and helped, and he was a Christian man. And I told him I had prayed that morning that God would send someone to help me. And he did. And I said, you take that back to your church because that's a testimony. God done this.
Amen. Like, praise God. So hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Candy. Candy and them was doing a lot of moving this past weekend and a lot of stuff going on. And look, God sent someone. You know, it's amazing because remember, Chad Smith was sent on an assignment to help put a friend's roof on that was a tithe-paying man that said, Lord, I need help. And I tell you what, you have no idea how much is out there for you, but you know why most Christians are in a bad situation? Most Christians are depressed, discouraged when they have difficulty going on, because they never even cry out for God. They get down in the dumps and start, woe is me, whining around, doing things on their own power, and they never once stop and say, God, this is more than me. Send me some help. Just like this, we got loved ones out there that need to be saved. Do we ever rend the heavenlies? Do we ever just spend time saying, Father, I thank you that my backslidden son is saved in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that I don't care if he's drinking alcohol. I don't care if he's strung out on dope. The seed of the righteous shall be saved. I break that curse off of his life, and I declare in the name of Jesus that my son is coming home to be with the Lord and to serve him. Woo! See, we need to get some tenaciousness about ourselves. I think we're almost getting ready. Hallelujah. Get ready. I got to say, welcome to Only Believe Ministries. I hope Miss Regina's proud of us tonight, because I'm going to be ready to go. Babe, this is in your honor. I'm ready. We're not late. Oh, my goodness. I even got a countdown. Woo, I can dance a little bit. I can do all I want to, and then I can straighten up in the final seconds. Okay. Well, hello, everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to say good evening to you and welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know that God is with each and every one of you. I want you to understand that you should never underestimate the care and the love God has for you. Remember that over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about how the Lord is not a man that he should lie. The very fact that he created you, he's not a God of mistakes. Your life is not a mistake. Now, have we made some silly decisions? Oh, yes, we have. Could we have propelled ourselves in directions that were not good? Oh, yes, we could. But I will tell you that God is the God of more than enough. God is the God. You know, I'm glad that we're discovering that the Bible is not hate speech at all. Where else could you go to have someone tell you, hey, forgive your brother 70 times 7 in one day? And if God begins with us having forgiveness for each other that deep, how much more so is our Heavenly Father willing to forgive us, start over with us, and help us just be what he's called us to be? Amen? Amen. I tell you what, tonight we're going to enter into worship. Tonight it's going to be worshipful. We're just going to rest in him. We're just going to rest in him, and we're going to make sure that he's our top priority. We're going to make sure that we honor God, because as we honor him, boy, I tell you, he has already put honor on your life. See, isn't this the beautiful thing about God? Before you even knew you needed him, he was willing to die for you. Before we ever knew, Linda, how much we would need God, Miss Mona, before we ever knew, I tell you what, he reached towards us and made a plan where we could be rescued at all times from darkness, from difficulty, from depression and discouragement. Let's just make sure that he's the first, the only, the loving God. Let's make sure that he's a top priority in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Join us tonight. Just like before. You're changing me. to all you are. Everything else can wait. Sing that again tonight. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all you are. Everything else can wait. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, come now and breathe upon our hearts. Come now and have your way. 'Cause when you speak and when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. 'Cause when you speak and when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. Thank you. into your presence, passing gates of praise, into your sanctuary, where we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, of praise, into your sanctuary, where we're standing face to face. I look upon the countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, let's lift our hands tonight and sing. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You cannot get on his nerves. You cannot disturb him. You cannot upset him. The only thing that you can do to upset the Lord or to grieve the Holy Ghost is to live your life without him. And to not go before him. And to not ask him. When you live your life so casual that you can go days or weeks without asking God for his help or for his answers or for his touch on your life, I tell you what, that's the only time that you're going to ever find in the Bible where the Lord was grieved. Remember the children of Israel? He came up and said, my goodness. He says, Moses, you're going to have to go tell them that as they've spoken in my ears, completely against my will, completely opposite of what I wanted for them, I have to give them what they're speaking in my ear. God did not want to do it. And half the time, Christians, I love you. But half the times we got a mess in our lives because that's what we speak. what we invite in. It's what we say. Woe is me. I'm all by myself. I'm just this. I'm just that. Oh, I'm sick. They said I got pneumonia. I probably have pneumonia and emphysema and leukemia and everything else. We just get to confessing over ourselves a bunch of mess. But let's just do this just a couple more times and just remember how truly awesome God is. Not just in this place, but in your heart and in your life. The Lord truly is awesome.
Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Appear to be mighty to you, if you've never had to say this is awesome, I want you to know that it doesn't lie in the hands of God. Your disappointment does not lie in the hands of God. Your disappointment is within yourself. We quit sometimes. We give up. We don't hang on to the deuces. And most of us, some of us, never even ask. Even though he says, I stand at the door and knock, he begs to come in. Even though Jesus said, listen, when I go up, if you ask anything in the name of the Father, you ask anything in my name to our Father, and it shall be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Truly are awesome in this place, Father. We truly do love you. We declare your goodness, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa. Well, I don't know if she'll like me saying it or not, but keep Miss Pastor Regina up in prayer, because she's just going through a little time of being afflicted and having some difficulties. She was here with me, and we had to trek back home, and so you just keep her up in prayer. Praise God. And as a result, I am a little bit of a wild man tonight. Because, look, I don't even have my Bible that keeps me under control. I'm using this computerized stuff. And you know that when I got this stuff out, there's no telling what will happen in here. Amen? Amen? I might know Regina here. I might run, jump, kick, throw my pulpit. We have no idea what might go on tonight. But we do know that God is here to heal, set free, and to deliver. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to let the children go. Do I let them go before I do offering? Okay, very good. Hallelujah. They probably have snack time down there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Philip, it's good to see you tonight, brother. You're looking good. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's a nice name you got. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. Miss Haley. Now, you see, I waited till he got over there and told him he was looking good. Because next to you, we can only honor his better half. Amen. So he had to get over there away from you before I could tell him he was looking good. Boy, I'm getting in trouble already, aren't I? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm starting early. Hey, I'm going to really dig into this on Sunday. But the Lord's been pressing into me that... You know, it's funny because typically when you're in church building projects or you're building projects at home or you're just into stuff, you know, I want you to know something. We have to keep our awareness up, especially when we get busy in life and we get promoted, because there's a scripture I'm going to bring to you on Sunday, and it says, hey, shall my house lay in ruin while you build your house? Mm-mm-mm. The Lord asked that question. Shall my house lay in ruin while you build your house or your own life? Listen, too many times, Christians, and I'll tell this, especially for Christian businessmen, I want you to know something. Sometimes it's easier to tithe when you're making $50 a week as opposed to $500 or $1,000 a week. And I tell you what, you get up to some of these businessmen $10,000, $20,000 a week. Boy, sometimes it gets hard for those guys to tithe. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever throw away your beginning. The Lord says that he who is faithful over little shall be given much. And I'm telling you that God has an expectation that as you get promoted, you're still going to be faithful and honor him with your tithes and offerings. God expects you to still come to church, hallelujah, and listen to this squeaky little naggy whiny voice in your ears, hallelujah. I tell you what, sometimes people come up to me and say, oh, I almost had a situation, and all of a sudden I heard you. And I said, I don't know if that's good or bad, Brian. I don't know if they're having a nightmare, a bad dream, or what, but when they hear me, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's good or bad. But I'm blessed and I'm glad that you heard, especially if it restrains you and you do something good. But I'm just going to tell you something. That as we build this building, you know, we still have needs within this building. It's not like we're going to finish all the millions of dollars, the $1 million that needs for this building. It's not like we have that all in the bank. It's not like we have everything locked down. And I'm just telling you that beyond your tithes and offerings, if God stirs you, if a windfall comes in, if something happens, and if God stirs you, praise God, now that's getting it done. Man, I love it. I'm not trying to call you guys out, but let me tell you something. I'm glad that people, when they're running a little behind, will still come to church. It's a whole lot better than just saying, oh, I'm a little late. I'm just going to stay home. No, I'm glad you came. Hey, you're looking as good as you ever did back there, Brother Dave. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, let's give them a hand clap of praise. Thank you, guys. I tell you what, let me tell you something. When you deal with a little resistance and you fight it off and do what you was going to do anyway, I'm telling you, it's a good thing. Amen. I guess that's why that couple can buy a house, sell a house, and close on everything all in one day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me. I'm just going to tell you that this is a good time for you to start stirring your faith about your giving and about your living. I want you to know that October, I always celebrate wholeness, but by November, the time of transition, I start thinking about what I've done good, what I haven't done good, and I'm also giving God thanksgiving. And then by December, I'm laying down some foundations. If I slipped on anything from the year before, I'm telling you, I'm laying some things down, and I'm going to put some convictions in there. You know, I already got a promise made that I'm going to be nicer to my wife in 2020 than I've ever been in any year before. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my commitment. Baby, if you're watching, I'm going to be nicer to you in 2020 than any year I've ever been before. Whew, that's a pretty big challenge because there's been years that I've been nice to her. Amen. But I tell you what, set some banners out there. Set some convictions around your life. You're not the downtrodden. You're not the downcast. You're the elite of God. You're the best of the best. So let's just live like it. Amen? Amen. I don't know how that works for an offering message, but it is what you get tonight. Amen. You know, the first part, don't let God's house stay unattained when you're building your own houses. Amen. Keep him in relationship with you and keep your faith releasing into the kingdom what should be. Amen. So that God can touch your finances. You don't want to not tithe. Because you actually limit God from opening up the windows of heaven. You want him to be able to reach down on your little and cause it to be increased. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we put these offering buckets out, Father, Lord, I pray that each person, God, you are the minister that touches their heart. You are the one that leads them, guides them, directs them, God. You are the one that reveals to them what they should release at the strategic times that they hit this opportunity. And Lord, I just thank you that you're pouring out your blessing upon them, Father. Lord, I thank you that you're pouring out, God. I even believe we're going to be a debt-free house, God, and we're just going to walk in what you've given us, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Thank you. name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so it might take me a few minutes to get used to this little thing I have up here, but we're going to get there and get some things done. You know, I'm shifting our message tonight because we've been talking about how you are more than enough. We've been talking about our value in the eyes of God and how he created us from the foundations of the earth. And I hope that I have started to seal in you the fact that you are very important to God and that your life is not just simple little haphazard misfit thing that just barely by chance got started. No, no, no. You are a determined, significant part of God's plan for the world. Now listen to me. I want you to know that you are more than a human being that was born. You're actually a purpose that was sent and released into the earth. And within you, there are many mighty things that if you would be with God on this life journey and you would just be a Christian and you would just follow God and understand that that's how life was meant to be. I want you to know something, that for so long people have acted like it's strange to serve God or it's weird or the fringe of the people that serve God. Listen to me. This is what normal life was supposed to be. You were never meant to be humanity without a relationship with God. Listen, if you live your life without the Lord, you're only going to live a minute part of what was meant for you. Listen, you can't even fulfill 40% of your destiny without being saved and born again. I want you to know something, that I know there's many people unsaved that are mothers and fathers today and that work. And I tell you what, not every great thing that's been built was built by a Christian. But I will tell you what, if you dig into those lives, you'll find a whole lot of more brokenness than you ever did success. And you'll also find out that many of the great things that was done in our nations and the many things that was done in our history was done on a foundation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's only been these recent decades that people are so bold enough that they believe they can be universes unto themselves. It's only been within recent times that there was a lot of people thinking that they can live life without God. Listen, it has been from the foundation of this nation that we are now a part of. I tell you what, the very core values of the Constitutions, the Bill of Rights, anything that was done and written in those early days, let me tell you something, it was done on the foundation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. I want you to know something, that your first schools in America, they were churches on Sunday, and they were school buildings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I tell you what, their main source of teaching was right out of that Bible. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something, that that is still the book for me. Amen. Hey, that's a nice little rhyme. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that throughout the ages, the consistency of what makes humanity humanity is God. I just want to spend a couple minutes just talking to you about God and what he says to his people. And I want you to read here with me. I'm going to be in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, and it says in verse 8, Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of the heaven for a multitude. Verse 11, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? I cannot. But let me tell you something. This was a prophetic word given to people by God. Go in and possess your land. And this is also a prophetic speaking over people, that the God will make you 1,000 times more. Listen, I want you to know something, that I love us here. I love us here. But I can tell you assuredly that each of us, even myself, have fallen short of what we could really have in our life if we just believed that God was focused on us. You know, there are people who say, well, Pastor Phil, I don't need anything for me. I just wish God would help so-and-so. Stop it. That sounds real religiously cute, but let me tell you something. I bet you it tastes like puke in the mouth of God. Because you can't even begin to tax God to use up all of his strength, all of his glory, and all of his power. Listen, I tell you what, if every person on the face of this earth was saved, first of all, that would be the perfect will of God. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I would that all men would be saved. All men, women, and children, God wished that you were all saved. And if he wished you were all saved, guess what that means? He has enough power, he has enough authority, he has enough blessing to meet the needs of the 7.5 billion people and growing that are on the face of this earth. I want you to know something, Rogers. Every generation, the people that was on this earth had have been saved. And guess what? God would have had enough for every generation, all the way up from 1 billion to 2 billion to 3 billion to 5 billion to 7 billion. Listen, if this earth ever has 15 billion people on it, God said that he would, that they would all be saved, and he'd have more than enough for all of them. And if God would have more than enough for every living person on the face of this earth, and we got a large percentage of people not saved, why in the world would you fret of asking God for anything? I'll tell you what. Them grandbabies come over, not only do you already spoil them, but you start asking them, grandbaby, you want anything else? You want some more? You want this? You want this? And you'll give them a sugar high like you would have never gave your own kids, because you're sending them home with mom and dad anyway. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Listen, anytime you can fathom your kindness or your love towards another person, understand that that's not even an iota of how much God loves you. Say, God loves me. Listen, God is not just a little bit in love with you. He is so extraordinarily in love with you that heaven stops the day you become saved. And they put on a celebration and a party just because you determined to get saved. Amen? Say, Pastor Phil, I didn't believe that I was all that in a bag of chips. But you're changing my mind. Woo! Oh, I got to get you guys putting some confession out there. Listen, if we were by ourselves, we wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. But listen, if we have given over ourselves and humbled ourselves and said, Lord, come in and be Lord of my life. I might not be perfect. I don't know how to do it all, but I'm going to trust you. If we've done that, let me tell you something. You are all that in a bag of chips, maybe even 10 bags of chips. Hallelujah. But listen, you are so much more than you were before, that the Bible declares that the Lord would that we'd be 1,000 times more than what we were. I want to give you just another scripture here of a real popular scripture. We love to read about Daniel. Amen? Boy, that's an exciting story. You know, if you think these movies are exciting, just read about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the lion's den and the fiery furnace. Woo! There's some power in those stories. I tell you what, I want to remind you of something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. And they have some, they use their Hebrew names here, but I want you to look at Daniel chapter 1, and this is the king who had taken these young men and studied them for like 3 years or so. And it says that Daniel was a man that challenged the guys over him, and he said that he doesn't want to eat the meat of the king. The king had all this meat and wine and all this stuff, and Daniel said, oh no, I just want to eat what we're allowed to eat according to God. So we're going to just read this because it says in verse 8, Daniel 1, verse 8, and I'm going to read to verse 20. So it seems long, but it's going to be strong, some things in here. And it says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know, if we would just live God's way, we would find favor and tender love in all areas of our life. The other thing I want you to know here, Christians, is what's really critical is that Daniel, as it were, is coming into a workplace or an environment that isn't the church. He's coming into a place where he's expected to do like everybody else. But Daniel, recognizing his spiritual heritage, says, oh no, just because you put it out here, I ain't eating the king's meat, I ain't eating the wine, I'm not joining myself to that. Daniel wanted to eat, I guess, a little green vegetables and drink his water that God had directed him to do. And I want you to see that Daniel even went to this prince and said, hey, I can't do this. And he had tender mercy and favor because he obviously kept himself well, did things right, had a demeanor that was positive towards everybody. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto him, Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, who was the eunuch, leader of the eunuchs, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego later. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. All 10 is the number of wholeness and infinity in the Bible. Don't ever forget that. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat at the portion of the king's meat. And as you see us, deal with my servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Now listen to this. Christians, if you would just live God's way, not just in your physical food, but eating the word of God, living as a Christian, being who you're supposed to be in Christ, despite what the world is doing. Daniel was among other princes and other important young men, and he chose to live God's way, even to the point where he was willing to be embarrassed about it. The eunuch thought that because he was just eating pulse vegetables and different stuff, that he was going to be looking bad after 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. I want you to understand something. Christians, why do you pretend to be weaker when you're actually stronger than anyone else? Why do you, in a work environment where even sinners can flourish, why do you make your work environment so difficult when God just says right here, you have 10 times the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability, and should have the proper attitude? Why do we as Christians make excuses, go to the beggarly places, pretend that we're not strong, pretend we're not this? I'll tell you why. We refuse to give honor to the blood. Now, I tell you what, if we love Jesus so much, we'll get over ourselves, we'll get right, and we'll get our Christian on. In today's world, I think that these guys say, I'm going to get my game on, or I'm going to get this on. Why don't you just get your Christian on? You know, we want to be so woke nowadays. Why don't you woke up and decide to be a real Christian? Where you're weak, he'll make you strong. Where you have weaknesses, why? If you can't remember much, Why aren't you praying and saying, God, you said I could have the renewed mind of Christ. Jesus wasn't forgetful. Why do I have to be forgetful? Jesus wasn't fearful. Why do I have to be fearful? Does not he say you can go to the Father and ask anything in my name? And if you ask it, it shall be done. Linda, I got to call you out on the carpet, girl. If you got areas of your life where you're still fearful, I want you to fight hard to just get over it. If you got doubts of what God will give you out of that promise book, I want you to not stop till you get it all. I just feel like there's some places in the Bible where you're like, and I'm telling you, God wants you to have it all. Keep your journey going. Don't be afraid. Listen to me, people. I'm telling you right now that I love you and we can handle your weaknesses. Listen, if you feel weak, it's okay. Let me know. We'll pray. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to have a mindset of thinking you're going to stay stuck somewhere, forget about it. We are going to get our Christian on. Boy, maybe that's what I should have called this message. Get your Christian on. What does that mean? It means that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It means that I'm an overcomer. It means that I can do all things through him who will strengthen me. It means that when I'm walking, I won't be weary. And when I run, I don't have to faint. It means that he will give me an answer. If I just cast my care upon him, he cares for me and he will bring me through my darkest hour. Woo! You can have health if you just put your mind to it. Oh, you want me to meditate? No, I want you to understand scripturally what the foundation of your healing is. He says that his wounds release what belongs to us. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his blood all my transgressions were gone, and by his wounds, by his stripes, I received my healing. And I tell you what, don't be afraid when the report comes. Be strong enough to stand against that report in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen? Now, I want to just tell you some things here. Ooh, I think I'm going to go, yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. Well, let me stay right there for you. I got to get back there. There's something about this. It says, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. I want to remind you of something. Why did the king find them stronger? Because they never went to the king on their own strength. They never went to the king on their own knowledge. Remember Daniel, whenever it was time for Daniel to say something, he always sought God. And let me tell you something, Daniel would not even go and speak until he had set himself for fasting and praying, and until he got visions and until he got revelation from God, he didn't go saying anything. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Now, sometimes we think that that means let's be quick to hear the gossip. Let's be quick to hear what's posted on Facebook. Let's be quick to hear the negative. No, no, no. I want you to know, if you're going to be quick to hear, it ought to be the Holy Ghost that's quickening your hearing. Therefore, you won't hear just fears and doubts and all the negativity of this world. You should hear what the Holy Ghost has to say. You don't know, they said, I'm sick. Yes, I do know. God says you're healed. You don't know, they're talking bad about me. Good. It's good for you to get a little talking bad about you. It means you're doing so much that the devil's upset. Hallelujah. Bible says, be leery when all men speak well of you. Amen. I'm not saying I like what they have to say, but boy, you come telling me, Pastor Phil, these guys said you're okay, but over here, boy, they think you're a dog. Hallelujah. I start doing a little dance. Come on, speak it, devil, speak it. Because I know if I'm causing you to speak against me, I'm doing enough in the kingdom to be recognized. Woo, praise the name of the Lord. But this is what I really want you to get a hold of. I want you to know that being slow, quick to hear, means you don't want to be quick to hear what man has to say. You want to be quick to hear what the Lord has to say on Sunday. And then once you hear what the Lord has to say, the Bible says be slow to speak. You want to know why? Because when I speak, I don't want it to be me. I want it to be the Holy Ghost. I'm obedient to hear what God puts in my mouth, and that's what I'll speak. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus said, listen, I don't say or do anything that I haven't heard or saw my Father do. Amen? And we are supposed to be Christ-like. We are supposed to be Christ-like. Get your Christian on. Amen. Say, Pastor Phil,
I'm going to get
my Christian on. Woo! Amen. I'm going to be Christ-like when it comes to finances. I'm going to be Christ-like when it comes to relationships. I'm going to be Christ-like when it comes to loving people. I'm going to be Christ-like when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to be Christ-like even to my neighbors, to my family, and to those who I'm in close relationship with. Amen? Let's be Christ-like in what we do. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just go and remind you that here with Daniel and these three men, you know, they were able to handle more responsibility than other people. Not because they did it on their own strength, but because they were submitted to God in his way of doing things. Amen? Well, you guys are trying to make me shout tonight. I'm telling you. I got to do all I can to slow down and breathe a little bit, because you guys got me ready to just tear it up tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to go there for just a couple minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, we then, see, this is after God comes upon us. Once we're saved, once we're strengthened by him, once we're working within the church, it says, we then, as workers together with him, that's with Jesus, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. And I want you to know that I like to explain those words. That word secure means that I have given you assistance and support in the time of hardship and distress. That's what that word means. I have secured you, given you assistance and support and the time of hardship and distress. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned or untouched, unchanged, and not made pure. Listen to me. We then, as workers together, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Do you know how you can receive the grace of God in vain? Be the opposite of Paul. Paul said, I have labored more than you all. I have fasted more than you all. I have preached this gospel. Therefore, laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. Do you know that the only way faith can be in vain on your life is if you quit, give up, or don't go farther than where you are? Well, hallelujah. Pastor Phil, I thought I'd get so far along and I could just cut. No. No coasting in the Holy Ghost. No, we got to be changed from glory to glory. We got to stir ourselves up. Listen to me, when you get to be 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 92, 93, 110, I'm still going to expect you to have faith birthed in your life. Amen? And I tell you what, if you find me without faith going on, hit me with a baseball bat, hit me with the Bible upside my head, but say, Pastor Philip, what are you doing? Let's get going. Amen? Listen, the grace of God should not be on our life in vain. I thank God that you are bold enough to go get it. I thank God that you are bold enough to ask the Lord for salvation. But don't sit there and start taking your circumstances as though they're the gospel. They're not. The Lord doesn't want you sick. He's giving you healing. The Lord does not want you financially strapped. He's giving you provision. The Lord does not want you filled with fear, disappointment. The Lord does not want you lonely and discouraged and depressed. I'm telling you that it is time for us to put our confession on and put our Christian on. Krista, you going to put your Christian on, girl? You going to put your confession on? Amen. I believe you. Listen, we got targets that we're going to hit in this life. Amen. We got things that we're going to pursue. And what's so powerful about our pursuit is, I tell you what, I'm going to be pursuing to the day the Lord comes back. But even if I were not to get everything done that he asked me to do, guess what? I still got eternal life out in front of me. Amen. And with that goal out there, there ain't no way I'm going to slow down and back up. Amen. Woo. I think me and Regina are more solid than we've ever been. I tell you, we feel more blessed than we've ever been. But I got to tell you something. It's not enough. And it's not because I'm greedy. It's not because I want something. It's not because, no, it's not enough because there's still lives that we can touch. There's still people we can bring to the kingdom. There's still stuff we can do that would cause people to say, hey, how do you do what you do? John 3:16, let's get to talking and walking together. Amen. Listen, this is what the Bible says. I refuse to let my faith be in vain no matter what I faced. No matter what came my way, I refuse to sit back and let the devil have a place in my life. Amen. My goodness, I might list my house on the same day and sell my house on the same day and close on my new house on the same day. Praise the name of the Lord. You don't know what's going to happen in Kenton, but things get strange over here. And we have a baby that was born at 6 years, 6 months before they found out that baby had HIV. And let me tell you something, HIV's not even a part of that baby's life right now. And that baby's 3 going on 4 and eating good and having a good time, totally healed. You don't know what's going to happen when you just let your faith move where your faith should move. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah, I got just a little bit more to put on you. Are you ready for just a little bit more? Amen, amen. I want you to see something here. That this is your true destiny. And this is who you are. And these are defining moments where I want you to start putting yourself right into these scriptures. We're going to look at 1 Peter. And we're going to go to chapter 2. Yep, and I'm going to read around verse 4. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is speaking of Jesus. Ye also as lively stones. You know, this says as a lively rock, as a place of foundation that's now made alive by Christ, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were disappointed. But ye, whoa, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you ever considered yourself to be royalty? Get your Christian on. Get your faith up. Amen. One of the first things we have to get Christians to do is remember that the first commandment of the Bible is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, and we would also love our neighbor as ourselves. Uh-oh. Pastor Phil, do you mean before I can do right by my neighbors, I have to love myself? Oh, yes, Miss Holly, I'm here to tell you that I'm not trying to put your life out there, but and I know this isn't you, but if you have insecurities, if you think you're not enough, if you think that you're less than the preciousness of the eyes of God, we have to adjust that. Roger and Karen, now don't get me wrong. I know how much you guys like to talk about, you know, we're always going to be sinners and we're always going to have a little sin in our lives. And maybe we will, but here's the bottom line. Did you ever consider yourself royalty? Well, the Bible says that who was the King of Kings and who was the Lord of Lords? Does it not say Jesus? And does it not say that he was the first of many brethren? Don't you sell yourself, don't you consider yourself part of the kingdom of God? Amen. Don't you consider yourself a child, a son or a daughter of the living God? Amen. Royalty. Amen. Royalty. Hey, kings and priests and queens out here, I got to tell you something. Get your Christian on. Amen. Now listen, I don't want you to go out here being cocky and arrogant, but I do want you to step on the neck of the devil and tell him, well, you don't got no right to be bossing me around. Amen. You have no authority over my household. When I pray for my spouse, she's going to be healed. When I pray for my son, he's going to be healed. When I pray for my friend, listen, no. There's no poverty here. No. Devil, you're a liar. We're breaking this off of us. You have encountered the royalty as the children of God. I like it too because you guys think I'm just a strange one. He called you a peculiar people. But you know why we're peculiar? We're so unique because if we are people that have allowed Jesus Christ into our heart and got filled with the Holy Ghost, we're a creature and a creation that no devil in hell wants any part to do with. Listen, you guys will scare the fire out of Satan himself just by being who you are in Christ. You are a peculiar people and you are meant to be possessing this life in a positive way. Bob, you have a right to have brand new dreams, brother. You told me yourself, Pastor Phil, this last year or so, I believe I'm closer to God than I've ever been. True? And I tell you what, God ain't tearing your dreams down, is he? He's building dreams. He's giving you a hope and a future. That's what God does. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I guess I'm going to just stop right there. And I'm going to revisit 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 through 26 next week. I'm going to revisit that because we're going to start stepping into next week into a time where we're called renewing and not spewing. Renewing and no spewing. Amen? I'll just let you sit in that for a week. But it says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20, 24 through 26, that there are some people in this life that literally oppose themselves. That means that here you are, you're supposed to be a Christian, and you let bitterness, atheist thoughts, whatever, someone's hurt. So you were hurt in a relationship. You went through a divorce. You had hardships. You were abused. You had mean parents. You had all this. You were orphaned. You had no parents. We'll let everything in this world calls us to oppose ourselves instead of come to the Lord. We're just not going to live that way anymore. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that as Christians, God, we're going to get our Christian on. We're going to be disciples. We're going to adhere to that word of God. We're going to be in prayer. We're going to be in love. We're going to be in mercy. We're going to be in grace, God, and we're going to look for you to strengthen us. We're going to look for you to help us. We're going to look for you to love us and build us up. And Father, we just thank you for your kindness, Father. I thank you that the Bible says that we can study to show ourselves approved. I thank you for churches and pastors that would preach the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for faithful people who are going towards you. And because they are faithful over little, God, they will receive much. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen, you guys are all looking good and healed and bold out there, but if you need prayer, even though we're dismissing, I will I'll be here to pray for you. And praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you.